We all know our brother Marvin, but I do ask that you'd give him your silent prayers as well as your attention. I know he would appreciate your prayers anytime any of us stand up here. But I give to you our brother Marvin for the message of the evening.
Thank you, Bob. Well, we'll start here in the Bible, and the book of Proverbs is a good place. A lot of good information there. Somebody always changed the chapters around in my book. I don't know which way to go sometimes. But anyway, the sixth chapter of Proverbs. And I'll begin on verse number 16 here and read a couple of verses. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run any mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And you know, those things happen in the world today, sometimes where they should not happen, even among the Lord's people. Discord does happen. Somebody thinks somebody does something or is doing something not as they should, and so they start saying somebody's not doing as they should. False witness, you know. That's what the Lord doesn't like either. You know, sometimes, you know, they brought false witnesses against our Lord and Savior, did they not? Many of them did. And they brought false witness against Jesus when he healed the people. You know, there was a number of them healed on a Saturday, which is their Sabbath. And the Pharisees were rather upset. They'd bring false accusations against our Lord and Savior. Really a lying tongue. And you know, the one that he healed that was blind from the time it was born till the time Jesus healed him, he couldn't see. And of course, they didn't want to believe him at all. And you know, they just thought he was lying about it. And they just, one thing after another, they bring false accusations against people. That's what the Lord don't like, is a false witness. Nor discord among brethren. A proud look, you know, a proud look is pride, really, in a way. You know, pride is something that the adversary really loves. He loves it very much. He likes for everybody to be that way. He can lead them away into byways that is not good. And so, you know, it says lying tongue. And, you know, we got to be careful of that we don't fall into that trap. It's an easy thing to do, that is. But we have to be very careful about these things. And so, as it says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. And that's true. You know, the sons of Mosiah that went up among the Lamanites, you know, they were very successful. They were there 14 years. That's quite a while. They labored among the Lamanites, and you know, they converted thousands and thousands of them up there. And you know, they become very faithful to the Lord. And they wouldn't turn their back upon the Lord either. And so, we have to be diligent and keep the commandments of the Lord. as it says, the commandments is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof and instructions are the way of life. And true it is, the commandments is a light to us. Light to have eternal salvation. You know, that's something we all want. But do we all going to do what we need to get it? Or are we going to slip by on the wayside? Well, some, I'm sure, will slip by on the wayside, thinking that all is well. But is all well? Well, I don't know. I wonder about some people. Anyway, I want to turn over here to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, and read a little bit. And read a couple of verses here. 30th chapter. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And you know, that is true. Those that will put their trust in him. You know, we were studying this morning about Moroni. You know how he put his trust in the Lord. And you know, he's very diligent. And he was a wonderful leader there for the Nephites. Verse 6, and thou add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so we have to be careful of that as well. I don't think that's something that anybody here falls into. But you know, as it says, the words of God is pure. And they are. They're a light to us to lead us on to the Lord, if we are obedient to him. I'd like to go over here in the Book of Mormon on page 100. I'll start. That's 100 we will start with. And I'll start with verse 35 and read a few verses here. For the people of the Lord are they which wait for him, for they still wait for the coming of the Messiah. And that is true. The people of the Lord are they which wait for him. That's what my brothers and sisters here are doing, is waiting for the Lord. There are some that are not here because they're sick. There are some that have no desire to be here. For whatever reason, I don't know. So, but anyway, behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah will set himself again the second time to recover them. And you know, that's what he will do. That's about to happen. That's yet ahead of us somewhere. Wherefore, he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory, unto the destruction of their enemies, when that day cometh, when they shall believe in him. And as I say, that is still just ahead of us. None will he destroy that believe in him. Notice, he says, none will he destroy that believe in him. And they that believe not in him shall be destroyed, both by fire, by tempest, by earthquake, by bloodshed, and by pestilence, and by famine. All of these ways the Lord will destroy those that don't put their trust in the Lord, that don't believe in him. And you know, we got a lot of people like that in the world today. It happens. But as it says, none will he destroy that believes in him. And that is true. Those that fight against his church and his people, they are not saved unless they repent. If they repent, they are never destroyed. The Lord loves to bless those that repent of their ways. I'll skip over here on the next page here and start on verse 45 and read a little bit. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord and the Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob, and truly he is. Now, you know, the Lord that spoke to the house of Israel was none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who spoke and gave the law to Moses and spoke to the people. Yea, for thus saith the Lord, have I put thee away, or have I cast thee off forever? For thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? To whom have I put thee away? Or to which of my creditors have I sold thee? Yea, to whom have I sold thee? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I come, there was no man. When I called, yea, there was none to answer. And so, you know, Israel, they turned their backs upon the Lord. And they got scattered throughout the world. It wasn't them. The Lord didn't divorce them at all. It was themselves that done it. And so that is always the way. When the people turn away from the Lord's anger is against them. And he will destroy them by and by. All you have to do is look at the Nephites in here, and whenever they become a little bit wicked, a lot of fighting happened among them. The Lamanites come against them. And that was because of the wickedness of the Nephites. They turned their backs upon the Lord. And you know, it wasn't some time, but just 3 or 4 years, and they was back at war again. And so I'd like to, in these conflicts and such not, you know, it isn't just all the wicked that get destroyed. You know, sometimes the innocent ones get destroyed as well, because they follow the Lord. You know, there was a number of disciples that were destroyed there after Christ was there. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul, you all heard of him, I'm sure. You know how he made war with the Christians, with the church? He put them to death. Well, a lot of them was innocent. They were good people. But Paul thought he was doing the Lord's work. But you know, when the Lord appeared to him and let him know what was what did he do? He turned to the Lord with all of his heart, mind, and strength. That's what he done. He became a great apostle, did he not? He sure did. He done a lot of good work for the Lord. But the Lord told him how he would suffer, and he did. But anyway, the house of Israel here were dispersed because of the wickedness. And that happened even among the Nephites here, and I'm sure it also happened among the lost tribes of Israel that we don't know about. Same thing happened to them as well. And so I'd like to go over here on page 624 in the Book of Mormon. In verse 6 here. Now, this is after the crucifixion, or at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. This is what's taking place here. You know, they've always were told that Christ would be crucified, and they were told when it would be done. And so it is just like it said it would be, you know. Samuel the Lamanite prophesied of it as well. And it come to pass in the 34th year, in the first month, in the fourth day of the month, there rose a great storm, such as one as never had been known in all the land. And there was a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth as if it were about to divide asunder. And there was exceeding sharp lightning, such as never had been known in all the land. That can be quite frightening, can it? Tempest, hurricanes, winds. They didn't have the word hurricanes back then, but, you know, a tempest, they knew what it was. And it was really a blowing. And them do when they come in at 150, maybe 170, maybe 200 miles an hour, I don't know, but they really get to going. And that lightning, my, that can really light up the world, that lightning. I've been places when I was young when it would storm, and that lightning would just flash all over, thunder. And sometimes, you know, it would hit a loud clap. I knew it was pretty close. So after the storm, I went out and looked. And about 50 feet from the house, the bark on the tree, about 20 foot of it, up and down it, about 2 inches deep, had been peeled out where that lightning took off and took out of that, took that lumber right out of that tree. It really makes a lot of noise. You know, sometimes it hits the houses as well. But anyway, they're really having a bad, vicious storm. These storms, why do they happen? Because of the wickedness of the people. And that's what's going on here. And I'll start on verse 7 again and read that. And there was also a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth as if it had was about to divide asunder. And there was exceeding sharp lightning, such as never had been known in all the land. That'd be pretty bad. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And so it was. Very severe storm. There was, as I marked them, there was four cities that were sunk in the Gulf of Mexico out there. In the National Geographic, back in the 60s, I think it was, they had a picture there of a house in the Gulf of Mexico that was down in the bottom of the ocean there. And it showed that house. It was still standing, such as it was. And so that's one of the cities that the Lord sunk. And, you know, many of them he burned up because he was unhappy with the people. But on page 625, I'll skip a few verses now and read on verse 13 here and read a few verses. And there was some which were carried away in the whirlwind. Can you imagine that? In them twisters? Carried away? My, wouldn't that be frightening? Well, the Lord's wrath is upon them, and where they went, no man knoweth, save they know that they were carried away. And thus the face of the whole earth become deformed because of the tempest and the thundering and the lightning and the quaking of the earth. Behold, the rocks were rent in twain, yea, they were broken up upon the face of the whole earth, insomuch that they were found in broken fragments, and in seams and in cracks upon all the face of the land. So it was very severe, that earthquake. Now, supposedly, these mountains we have here in Colorado and they go on down into Mexico was all created at the same time. Were they? I don't know. But that what some of them report that they were, the mountains is from that. But anyway, you know, their highways were broken up. Their smooth places were made rough. And, you know, some of the cities, excuse me, some of the cities were buried in the earth. You know, how Kahorth, you know, him and some of them went against Moses and Aaron, saying, you take too much for yourself. You know, they were unhappy with Moses and Aaron. Pride was a little bit high in their hearts. They thought that they should be able to do what they wanted to do and not Aaron and Moses. And, you know, Moses told them, well, in a kind of a prayer or whatever, that if the earth opened up, you know, and swallowed them, they'd know who the Lord had told him what to say and do. Well, what happened? The earth opened up under them, swallowed them up. That was the end of them. And so pride gets to this. What did it say in Proverbs there? Pride, proud look, and all of that. Well, that's what got to them. I'll continue on here in verse 16. It come to pass that when the thundering and the lightning and the storm and the tempest and the quaking of the earth did cease, for behold, they did last for about the space of 3 hours. And it was said by some that it was much greater. Time was greater. I can imagine so if you'd have been there and that had happened around you all that time, you'd be scared to death, I'd imagine. But you know there was righteous people there. They were suffering just like the wicked. But the wicked were destroyed. The righteous were not, but they had to suffer here in this bad earthquake and tempest and storm that was taking place. Terrible. I'd have been scared out of my wits if I'd have been there, I'm sure. But you know, some of them were very righteous. Nephi was there. You know, as it says, angels ministered to him daily. And so, you know, he went through that as well. But, you know, it's like my brother said, you know, in his sermon, not today, but the last one, he said that, you know, the love of the Lord casteth out all fear. Well, I'm sure Nephi was in that boat. And so he didn't fear, but he knew what was going to happen. I'm sure the Lord let him know. So anyway, that great storm come because of the wickedness of the people. They brought it upon themselves. Nobody else brought it upon them, but their wickedness is what it was. Even Samuel the Lamanite speaks of that 3 hours that it would be, and not only that, but Nephi, he speaks of this earth a groaning and a shaking and the storms and all that taking place as well, and speaks of it that it would be dark for, I don't know if he says for 3 hours or for a short time or what, I don't know, but he does speak of it. But it would be very a scary place to be. You know, complete darkness, can't light anything. You can't see so far as an inch in front of your eyes. It's like being down in a mine when it's dark. I mean dark. And so that's the way it was there. They couldn't light any fires. They couldn't strike anything. It was just plain black. And for 3 days. And let me read on in here. Verse 18, and it come to pass that there was thick darkness upon the face of all the earth, insomuch that the inhabitants thereof which had not fallen could feel the vapor of darkness. And there could be no light because of the darkness, neither candles, neither torches, neither could there be fire kindled with their fine and exceeding dry wood, so that there could not be any light, see light at all. And there was not any light seen, neither fire, nor glimmer, neither the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars, for so great was the mist of darkness which was upon the face of the land. Now with that darkness and the volcanoes going off down there, and you know, they did during that time, them volcanoes shot off and everything, and it's possible, I don't know, I've had some say that it was the ash from the volcanoes that made it so dark. But I'm not of that opinion, really. For if you remember, when the children of Israel was in Egypt, there, when those plagues was coming upon the Egyptians, that it become dark upon them that they couldn't see. Completely dark. But it was completely light among the house of Israel. So that's why I don't think it was this darkness was due to the volcanoes. But could have been? Well, yes, I suppose it could have. Verse 21 here. And it come to pass that it did last for the space of 3 days, and there was no light seen, and there was no, and there was great mourning and howling and weeping among all the people continually. I just bet there was a lot of that crying and howling going on. Scared out of their wits, you might say. Verse 22, yea, great were the groanings of the people because of the darkness and the great destruction which had come upon them. And in one place they were heard to cry, saying, oh, that we had repented before the great and terrible day, and then would our brethren have been spared, and they would ought not have been burned in that great city, Zarahemla. And you know, there was several cities burned, and some buried in the earth, some buried in the sea, and such not. But anyway, the 3 days did pass away. And so, that it did come to an end. But it was painful to hear all that noise, to feel the earth a shaking and a moving under you, and groaning and all that noise. Oh my, I can imagine how scary that would be. Well, maybe I don't have that love in my heart like Bob was mentioned that speaks of in John. Maybe I'm shy a little bit of that love. I don't know, but I can just imagine how scary it would have been there. So I want to skip over on to 6:28 here. It's one that's been read before, and it's Jesus. He's speaking to him. O all ye that are spared, because you were more righteous than they, will you not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, I will come on, if you will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. Behold, my arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which come unto me. And so, you know, shortly after this, they were all converted to the Lord there in Nephi land. Didn't happen overnight. It took a few days, few years, in fact, before it happened. But it did happen. They all turned to the Lord. How great their pleasure and joy was. You know, the Lord blessed them to no end. But you know, that's what happens when the people step out of line, you know. These destructions and wars come. We've had a great number of hurricanes come in up on the United States. Tornadoes here in the later years. Just quite a bunch of them. They've really devastated a lot of land down through Houston. You know, the good people as well as the evil people have to suffer the loss of their homes and such not. It's no fun at all. And then they had the hurricanes that went up Florida and around, and the things that they done there. It was terrible. What is happening? That is what. The Lord's knocking on the door. People are not listening. But this is the way the Lord gets their attention with these destructions. He gets their attention. They repent. you know. Later on, it speaks of Nephi, you know. Let me go over there. 568, I want to go to. Now, that's a kind of a strange deal. But anyway, this is where Nephi was. You know, he's on a tower there. He's praying to the Lord because of the wickedness of the people. He just hasn't made much headway speaking to them. And he's preaching to them, and he heals his brother from the dead and does a lot of miracles before the people. But you know, they won't hear him. I say they hear him, but they don't obey and follow him as they should. And so he's got up on this tower here. Now, verse 15, he's on it. And you know, the people going by on the road there just below it, he's on a tower, what, 10 foot high, 15 foot high? I have no idea how high the tower is that he's on, but he's a-praying. And the people hear him, and they go call other people. Hey, look at what Nephi's doing. Verse 15, yea, because I have got up on my tower that I might pour out my soul unto my God because of the exceeding sorrow of my heart, which is because of your iniquities. And because of my mourning and lamentation, you have gathered together yourself together and do marvel, yea. And you have great need to marvel. You had ought to marvel because ye are given away, that the devil has got so great hold upon your hearts. Yea, how could you have given away to that enticing of him who is seeking to hurl away your souls down to everlasting misery and endless woe? And see, they had that turned their backs upon the Lord. Kind of like we got going on in the world today. Things are just going haywire in the world. You know, all these tornadoes, as I say, the Lord's knocking on the door. Well, Nephi, he goes preaching. The Lord tells him thank you. He blesses him and tells him whatever he desires to pray for. The Lord bless him with, because he knows that he will not ask for that which is wrong. And so he does. You know, the Lord takes him by the Spirit from group to group to group to city around, and he prays to him. And you know, they're not able to lay hands on him, and such not as that. But you know, they're fighting. And so he prays to the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, don't let them kill themselves with the sword and fighting as they should. Bring a famine, a drought upon them. And so the Lord hears him, and that's what he does. And so it becomes a drought, a severe drought. People die by the thousands from starvation. And finally, you know, after a few years, they cry to their governors and judges, get hold of Nephi and tell him, we repent to stop this drought that's going on bring these things to an end so that we don't all perish. And so the judges and them finally do get hold of Nephi, and they tell him that they've repented. And so Nephi goes to the Lord, and he prays to the Lord that the drought will stop. And it does. And so the people, the rains come, and they begin to grow their crops again, and the fruits begin to produce. And so they say that Nephi is a great prophet. Well, he was a great prophet. But anyway, I want to read here on verse 26 some. Well, I'll start with verse 25. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will not shew unto the wicked of my strength to one more than the other, save it be unto those who repent of their sins and hearken unto my words. Again, there it is, we got to repent. The people there, everybody has to repent of those things they're doing wrong, whatever they be. And so, now therefore, I would that you should behold my brethren, that it shall be better for the Lamanites than for you, except you shall repent. For behold, they are more righteous than you, for they have not sinned against that great knowledge which you have received. And you know, here they are. It isn't long. I'm sure these are descendants of Ammon that he converted while up there in the Nephi land. And you know, they're a faithful people. Finally, you know, their brothers want to destroy him, so they go down next to the Zarahemla in that land, and they give them that land there, and then they put their armies, Nephi armies, around them to protect them. And you know, the Lamanites come down and want to destroy him. And it says there's a great battle, one of the greatest there was. But the Lamanites were destroyed, or they were the losers in the battle, and finally there was peace. But the Lamanites, you know, they didn't fight. They were there, but they supported the Nephites with food and that. And, you know, even later, I read that story of the 2,060 Lamanites. Isn't that a wonderful how they done? You know, their faith saved them. There was none of them destroyed, yet many of them were wounded. But you know, the Lord was with them. He's with the righteous. He don't ever destroy the righteous. He destroys the wicked, as it says here. He does not give a strength to the wicked more than one to another, save unto those who repent. That's what we got to do, is repent of those things that we do. And therefore I would behold, my brethren, that it shall be better for the Lamanites than for you, except you shall repent. For behold, they are more righteous than you, for they have not sinned against that great knowledge which you have received. You know, that knowledge is the same thing the Nephites had. They had it as well among those that had turned to the Lord. Therefore the Lord will be merciful unto them, yea, he will lengthen out their days and increase their seed, even when thou shalt be utterly destroyed, except thou shalt repent. And so that's what happens. People have to repent to have the favor of the Lord. The great destruction that's soon coming upon us, you know, he'll be with the righteous. Just like that sad deal that happened in Nevada. That fellow that wounded so many and killed so many. I hope he enjoys his stay in hell while he's there, because he's going to be there forever. I hope he enjoys it. But you know, people are sick today. There's scrapping going on all around. We're just about ready, it looks to me like, to have civil war in this country, because the people are not turning to the Lord. The Christians kind of have the gun sights on them. They're not liked very well at all, the Christians. They're kind of hated. They're evil. And that's the way it goes from time to time. And the Lord gets tired of that, and then he will act. But when he will start, I do not know any more than you do. But it is a coming. So those that repent shall not perish. They'll be all right. Doesn't say that's going to be easy. that you won't get hungry, maybe that you maybe get cold or whatever, I don't know. But you know, the righteous will be spared, as the Lord has told me. And as it says here, the righteous are spared. So we have to repent of those things if we want the blessings of the Lord that we do in our life. That's not of the Lord. Thank you.